Today is Wednesday, June 5th. This is the Chumash Share. We're in the middle of Bereshit, Perek Yudchet. We're up to Pasuk Yudbet. Okay, Rabotai. We're up to Perek Yudchet, Pasuk Yudbet, and Yud Gimel. I'd like to dedicate this year to the memory of Joseph Popkin on his 40th yard site, his Marsha Sanders' father. The yard site is Zion Sivan, and Zion Sivan is a significant day. According to the Gemara, there is a possibility that the Torah was not given on the 6th of Sivan, but rather on the 7th of Sivan, depending on a variety of interpretations of the psukim. So to dedicate a chumash here on the day in which, in all likelihood, that's the majority opinion actually, that at the time the giving of the Torah was not on the 6th of Sivan as we observe it in Eretz Yisrael and here on the first day, but rather what we call the second day of Yantiv, Zayin Sivan, is extremely significant. What? I know, but no, they don't, yeah. Okay, we are up to Pasuk Yud Bet. So as you remember well from last week, the Malach told Avraham that he is going to return in a year, and Sarah is going to carry a child. Sarah heard this behind the door. The Torah, the editor of the Torah, editor of the text, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, reports, Avraham v'Sarah zekenim ba'im bayamim chadaliot l'Sarah orach kanashim. And now the Torah reports how Sarah reacted. And there is much discussion about this particular pasuk. So let's just read it. Vatitzchak Sarah bikirba lemor. And Sarah, literally it says, she laughed to herself. I'm translating it according to the simple pshat. Lemor, making the following comment as well. Acharei biloti haitali edna va'adoni zaken. Acharei biloti haitali edna. Can you read me your English translation of that unusual phrase? Acharei biloti haitali edna. After what? What withered? That's it? I have withered.
But it's after I withered, I didn't have a delicate skin.
Correct. Good, good. So the simple pshat means it's a description of her physical body, that it is like other 90-year-old women. And therefore, she cannot understand how physically her body would be able to withstand a pregnancy. I'll show it to you soon. If you take a look for a second on page number one, the left side of the page, the Radak, and there's a lot to see in the Radak, but I want to show you just to help us understand this comment. Acharei biloti, it's the sixth line, Acharei biloti haitali edna. Eich yitachen shetihiye li edna adayan, od. How can I have edna, whatever that means, va'ani bala. I am old, used up, ragged. The old Shadoni Zaken. Furthermore, my husband is also in the same condition. And now he explains what it is. Voheedna hi idun harbasar lihiyoto rach vatov. The skin should be what? Healthy and soft. V'yashuv l'lachuto, and it should restore its what? Mazel lachut? Moisture. V'yitpashtu kimte ha'or. And that what? The wrinkles, the rip shall stretch out. So you probably know better than I that in order to have a baby, that's exactly what has to happen. You know, your body has to be physically capable of handling the stress of pregnancy. And based on her physical condition of her body, she felt that is impossible. Good. Fine. We'll get to this back in a second. So she's laughing. That's the simple pshat. No questions asked. No questions asked. Yeah. And Rashi, if you go to Rashi, because we always start with Rashi, Bikir Ba. Now, can you tell me other phrases in the Torah where the Torah wants to indicate that somebody is talking to him or herself? What is the word used in the Torah? Beliba. Exactly. Correct. You don't talk to your kishkes. You say biliba. Vayomer Aharon or Vayomer Moshe bilibo. He said to himself. And the Torah wants to let you know that he was not commenting to anybody else but to himself. The Torah should have written Vatitzchak Sarah biliba lemar. She was laughing to herself and then making the following comment. What exactly does it mean, Bikir Ba? So Rashi answers, Mistakeles b'me'eha. She's looking at inside her kishkes, her stomach, v'amra. Efshar hakir bayim halalu. Is it possible that these kishkes, to unin vlad, will be able to carry a child? Is that humanly possible? Hashodayim halalu shitsamku. These breasts that have shriveled up, moshchin chalav, are they now going to produce milk? Impossible. Good. Where did Rashi get this from? Tanchuma. He just quotes the Medrash Tanchuma, interprets it in such a fashion. But that's simply the simple interpretation. Vatitzchak Sarah Bikir Ba Lemor. Yes. Yes, but that we understand that.
Right, so that correlates. Then she's thinking about.
Correct, but that there's no doubt. It's a perfect analogy. But there, it's appropriate. Here, Rashi knows that it's not really appropriate because you don't laugh about internally. There it's, they're fighting internally. We understand, but it's a very good citation of the pasuk. Good. So take a look now. If you look on the right hand side of Rav Sadia Gaon, and he says, I don't care what the Torah says, Bikir Ba, on the right hand side on the top, how does he translate Sadia Gaon, the word Bikir Ba? Bili Ba. That's exactly what it means. So he just ignores the question and translates the phrase as if the word Bili Ba happens to appear. Now, I agree with him 1,000% according to the pshat, but it doesn't answer the question. Because 99%, 100% of the time, whenever you want to indicate to yourself, it does not say any place else, Bikir Ba. It always says Bili Ba, Bili Bo. So Sadia is not doing us much of a favor by translating it appropriately, but ignoring how do you explain why this unusual text appears right here. Yeah. Then, now go back to Radak, and the issue which we are going to try to explain is how do we understand the difference in the Torah's reaction, God's reaction, to Avraham and Sarah, who both laughed at this piece of information? So if you remember in Parshat Lech Lecha, I'll just tell you to look up the Pasuk for a second. Pasuk in for a second. It's Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Zayin. So look first at Pasuk Tet Zayin. Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Tet Zayin for a second. God is speaking to Avraham, first telling him, we learned this in great detail, that Sarai's name is going to change to Sarah. Then, Uberachti Ota, I will bless her, V'gam Natati Mimena Lecha Bein, and you will have a child from her. Uveirachti havahaita legoyim malchei amim mimene yua. Vayipol Avraham al panav vayitzchak. Now, vayitzchak. So, without looking any place, you should translate vayitzchak means, and he laughed. So much of the discussion will be, how come after he laughed, nobody comes to attack him and say, why did Abraham laugh? Here Sarah laughs, and the next pasuk is Vayomer Shem al Abraham, Lama Zetzachaka Sarah Lamar? Why is Sarah laughing? Yes?
What makes it even stranger is that it comes right after when you call Al Kama.
Yes.
Because that's usually davening. It's like, or if an analogy Hashem is there, so it seems odd place to laugh.
Good. That might have been the reason which prompts Onkelus, and almost everybody will follow him, as not to interpret the word Vayitzchak as he left. It's an excellent point. So take a look for a second if you have the Targum. The Targum Onkelus in Pasuk Yud Zayin. Because Targum Onkelus is one of the earliest commentaries. Unifal Avraham, everybody have it, Onkelus? Unifal Avraham Alapohi Bachadi. Mazevachadi, he was joyful, he was delighted, he was happy. Good. We have that phrase, Vayichad Yisro. He was delighted. Yes?
Yeah. Well, maybe you could say either delighted or laughed, it doesn't make a difference because it was from Sarah. Maybe the laughter because he could always have a child. But the fact that it was going to be from Sarah, that was why he laughed, because he knew she was past her prime.
Okay, so then why would it be necessary for Targum to say it doesn't mean laughter? Here in our text, let's go back to the Targum first. Let's go back to our pasuk. Let's go back to our pasuk. Look at the Targum's interpretation of the first word. V'chai is a laughter. Chiyuk is a smile when you laugh, when you're laughing. It's the way it's used all the time. Chaychat. Doesn't say v'chadi. Same thing as by Avraham. Mm-hmm. So people are troubled. So your point about the fact that it says v'yipol al panav, that would be a little strange. Why is he falling on his face? Because he's acknowledging the good news that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just gave. And then, while he's down there, he's going to laugh under his breath. It's possible that he's acknowledging the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying something, but I don't necessarily believe it. You know, there have been lots of jokes about what you do when you fall Kairim on Yom Kippur. Great, great chazan. One of the greatest ever. I'm not going to say his name, but one of the greatest. They said he used to fall Kairim, stay down for a while, took a little bite of something to eat. Hanum Kippur. And people knew, people. That was the story about him. And they once played for the Gera Rebbe his version of, in the Asara Haruge Malchus, he has a piece called Tiher Rabbi Yishmael Atzmai, where Rabbi Yishmael, the Kohen Gadol, prepared to invoke God's name about this decision that all the 10 scholars are going to be killed. And the Gera Rebbe said, after hearing that rendition, he said, it is impossible that he did not have Hirhurei Tshuva when he was saying that piece. It was so emotionally moving and stirring. He said it is impossible that even if he did all those things. He also came to shul one year, a very big shul in the Bronx, and he was wearing shoes on Yom Kippur. And the rabbi went over to him. He said, Chazan, it's Yom Kippur. Did you forget them? I'll give you my sneakers. No, I didn't forget them. I'm not davening in sneakers. He says, I can't let you daven if you're not going to wear shoes. He says, you want to tell those 1,200 people that I'm not davening? They're not going to be very happy with you. And he davened in shoes. It's crazy. It's crazy. But he was a great chazan. He had spectacular pieces. But anyhow, let's take a look at some of the reaction to this. So we are first... Let's take a look at Radak. Vatitzchak bikirba. Biliba tzachaka. Viloaga. Not only laughed. Mazel laag. Ridiculed. Made fun. That's a very powerful word. We say on Monday and Thursday, ki hayinu laag vakeles bagoyim. We were ridiculed, shamed, embarrassed. Lo agal ledivrei hamalach, ki hi lo chashva shehu malach. She had no idea, claims Radak, that these people who came to visit were angels. No idea. Ela navi, who did she think they were? Sheba libasra. She thought that he was a Navi, a prophet, who was predicting that what? That she is going to give birth to a child. Vilo'aga lidvarav. And she actually ridiculed his word. Actually ridiculed. Lemor chashva biliba lemor zehoinyan. What does the word lemor mean? Normally, Radak is correct. The word lemor always means to what? To say to someone else. Is there any indication in the text that she said it to anybody else? No. That, claims Radak, is going to be to her credit. Va'afal pikein lo tzachaka bifiha. She didn't say it to anybody else. Didn't laugh out loud. Who did she laugh to? Only herself. Because ethically and decency dictates that what? That when somebody's talking, you don't publicly embarrass them and challenge them and ridicule them by laughing at what they would say. And she was puzzled. The Amran, she said, so Radak is trying to minimize her affront by claiming she had no idea that these individuals were malachim. And there, why is it any less of an affront to a malach as opposed to a Navi? Because a Navi at least is a human being. You don't believe a human being? There are people who have, our Tanakh is full of people who did not believe in the words of Nevi'im. Full. Look at all of the kings of Israel who were warned by Yirmiyahu, Yeshayahu, Amos, and all of them that there is going to be a destruction of the first temple, and nobody believed them. So for people not to believe in the words of a Navi, we have more than adequate documentation. But for somebody to know that someone is a ma'ach and not agree and ridicule him, that we find no such example in Tanakh. Hence, Radak says, she did not know. Tell me why that's plausible. Tell me why Radak is not making that up. Just tell me, you know the story. Tell me why it's very plausible that she would not know. Did she ever see them?
No.
She never saw them. So Avraham, although these people were dressed as human beings, so on and so forth, looking at them, he might be able to tell and recognize, after all, Abraham all the time knows that they are angels and so on and so forth. She never saw them. It's not unusual to claim that she never had the opportunity to confirm that this was a Malach. And as a result, she indeed is last left left. And then at the end, Bahamalach Yada Kitsahata Vayomal Abraham. The Malach knew that she indeed laughed, because he's a Malach, and the Malach reports it to Abraham. Now, just look at the next four words of the next pasuk. What does it say in the next pasuk? We're not going to read it now, but just what are the first four words? Just want to make a point. Vayomer Hashem el Abraham. So everybody, or the most commentaries say, it was not God himself. It was indeed the Malach. And that the Malach is often referred to by his creator, by his Lord, namely HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not come and share any information with Abraham. This is the angel who saw fit to rat on Sarah and share this with Abraham. Even though the text says, Vayomer Hashem el Abraham. That's point number one. Point number two. Take a look at Svarno right below. Another attempt to give some rationale to Sarah's rather bizarre reaction. Vatitzchak Sarah on the bottom of the page. Shechashva shahaya dvar hamalach birchat navi bilvad. Just all she thought was, she heard the words that he was giving her a biracha. Now, a bracha which you grant, which you receive, many of us, I don't know, some of us have gone for brachot to various people. I'm not one of them, but some of us might have gone for brachot. And occasionally, rarely, they'll be fulfilled. Most of the time, brachot are very nice to hear, but unfortunately, gets too many people's hopes high, and then you are, you know, greatly disappointed that the bracha was not fulfilled. There's nothing, you can't lose anything, that's for sure. But, so she thought it was a bracha. It was a bracha. Ki inyan Elisha lo nivu'ah u'shlichut ha'el yitbarach. Just as Elisha told that Shunammite woman, you know what? I'm blessing you that what? Next year you're going to have a child. That's a blessing. Elisha never said that what? I am speaking in the name of God. He thought it was a blessing. So, a blessing. Okay, some people can give you a blessing and you think it's never going to be fulfilled. You're never going to... V'chashva shelo yusag ze bizikenin bibirchat shuk navi. That when you're physically unable to have a child, even the greatest blessing of a Navi has got to be unrealistic, and it's don't get my hopes and expectations up. Fine. All making a lot of sense. All making a lot of sense. Really? Yes?
To what purpose, to what end was it that they told on her?
What?
Why did the Malach really have to tell on her?
That's an excellent question. Let's see if we can find out. It's an excellent question. I don't know if I have a good answer. I don't know if I have a good answer. Let's see if we can find something. Okay, let's continue. Let us continue. Go to page 2, Chizkuni. Now, if you remember, I'm reminding you, Chizkuni was the author of the opinion that there were two times when these angels come. If you remember last week or 2 weeks ago, they come now during the Yontif of Pesach, and when else do they show up in Sarah's house?
Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah. And in fact, he brought support from the fact that we believe that Sarah was actually remembered and conceived on Rosh Hashanah and gave back birth 6 months later, or 7 months if it was a leap year according to some, on Pesach. But the reason why the angels had to come back, claimed the Chizkuni, because after she heard this, she confirmed her laughter. The guy, I laughed, yeah. Proof that I'm right is nothing has happened since what? Since last Pesach. And it's already Rosh Hashanah, nothing has happened. So Chizkuni is continuing this in light of his interpretation that there are two visitations. Ka'et Chaya, I'm going to return within a year. Either a calendaric year or the new halakhic year, the new year beginning Rosh Hashanah, says Chizkuni. Vakitzchak Sarah. Kishiba Tishre Achar Besurat HaMalachim V'ra'ata Be'atzma Shelo Nit'abra. Tishre comes and she has not yet conceived. Miyad Nit'ya'asha Min HaBesura. Maza Ye'ush?
Despair.
Gave up hope completely from this promise. Shelo hayu la rak shisha chadashim ad haPesach. She only had 6 months left to Pesach. V'lachei v'lo te'emina kimo Avraham. She did not believe the angels just as Avraham did. Why? How do I know? Why? L'fisha Avraham ne'emar lo mipi hakadosh baruch hu. Who informed Abraham that he was going to have a child through Sarah? Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Vayomer Hashem el Abraham." No place reported in Parshat Lech Lecha of a dialogue between Yitzchak, between Abraham and angels. Avol Sarah lo shama elami pi hamalachim, vehi hayta sivura shebnei Adam hei. Not only did she not think that they were malachim, but Nevi'im, she didn't even think that they were Nevi'im. Who are they? Ordinary dudes. Three people coming here and making such a prediction. Very nice. Tell me why you have trouble. I have trouble. I want you, why you have trouble with that last comment of Tizkuni. Why do you have comment? Difficulty. If this is indeed regular people, tell me why you would raise a question if Chizkuni were to walk right in, which he just did. He's right in, stand up. When I play at my friends, I make them stand up. They look at me like I'm nuts.
Wouldn't you say that she would confirm it with Abraham or something?
No.
Sharper.
If they were just regular people, why would she even believe them in the first place and be disappointed?
Ask Sharper. Sharper.
If they were just regular people, why would Abraham...
Sharper! Make believe three people just walking off the street. How would they know that what a thing to say for a stranger to walk at the house, oh lady, you're going to have a baby in the next year.
You wouldn't believe them.
How would they know that information? Why would anyone be prompted to make such a statement as a guest in someone's home? Why would anybody make such... You're looking at like, what's it your business? You're ludicrous. So to claim that there was no knowledge on Sarah's part, that these people are indeed something being confirmed to them from some heavenly source, is a little far-fetched to claim, because otherwise why would they be in a position to make such a statement? I think if you and me can be cognizant of that, Sarah should certainly be aware of the fact that this type of information is not on the tongue of just three Arab wayfarers who are traveling in the desert. It's a little difficult. But that's what he says. That's what he said.
Did Abraham know they were angels?
So that's the debate we saw at the beginning of the text, where it says, when he tells God, just wait here, is he talking to the angels or is he talking to God? Those were two interpretations. Remember. Let's continue.
V'hayitam mistakelet b'me'eha, and she was looking at her inner kishkids, v'omeret, e'shar kirbayim halolu to'anim. Is it possible that these insides are carrying the child? Miyad be'oto peret b'tishrei. Then, not right now, not right now. When is the next communication? Tishrei, 6 months later. Vayomer Hashem el Abraham, lama zetzach akasara, lamoed ashuvalecha. Perush, lamoed asher kava hamalach, zehu hapesach haba. Abraham is here to tell Sarah, the complaint is, you misunderstood what's happening. You think that that when they said you are supposed to have a child, when they tell them this on Pesach, you might have thought, oh, by Rosh Hashanah you're supposed to have a child. You showed it already? No. They only said that next year you're going to have a child. So it is possible that you will now get pregnant during Tishrei and still have a child on Pesach. Because in the thinking of Midrash and Chazal, they only knew of two types of children who could survive. A 9-month-term baby or a 7-month. I told that thing. Exactly.
Not an 8-month.
Not 8 months, not 6 months, not 3 months. Nothing can survive other... That's correct. I mentioned to you that the Rambam says that for an 8-month-old child, you're not in Chal Shabbos. If the child's in crisis. And we know that the Rambam is wrong. He would be as a doctor, he would know I made a mistake but based on the fact that medical evidence is changing. I just heard this thing about this baby who was like
I saw that.
Less than 20 ounces. Right? Yes, it's surviving, yeah. It was 18 ounces, I think.
No less.
20 ounces?
What? 20 ounces.
20 ounces and survive.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable what medicine can do to that. Yeah.
What country
is it
going? Yeah.
It's here. Right. Fine. So, what Chizkuni is trying to tell us that this, just this laughing and ridicule of Sarah, is not so much because of her lack of belief. It's just that the evidence, as she's watching herself, she may have believed it initially. What's he gaining, Chizkuni, by saying that this is Rosh Hashanah time? It means when she laughed initially, when she heard the information initially, she didn't challenge it at all. She didn't laugh. She must have been just as delighted as what? As Abraham was. But it's already 6 months have lapsed and nothing has happened.
She did laugh.
So now that what? Now that 6 months have left, now what is the total report? 6 months later, Vatitzchak Sarah b'kivalimor. You know, this is not coming true. So again, it's all based on Chizkuni's perception that there are two interactions between the Malachim and Abraham Sarah. Pesach, the initial one, then 6 months later on Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, we make a whole big deal about Vahashem Pakaret Sarah, God remember, on Rosh Hashanah. Yes.
But the criticism of her laughing is because she said, my husband is old. In other words, when Hashem told Abraham, he laughed, but he didn't say, how is that possible, my wife is old.
Good. Good. So it's an excellent point, and I want to get to that in a second. Within it, Ramban, who will say, I don't care what all the rabbis say, I'm going to tell you the pshat. Just 1 second. Excellent point. Now, let's take care of that right now. She said, Va'adoni Zaken. And blaming the inability to have a child, not on herself, but rather what?
On her, exactly. Now, take a look at the next pasuk for a second. Take a peek at it for a second. Take a look at Yud Gimel. Vayomer Shemal Avram, Lama Zetzach HaKasara Limor. Why is Sarah laughing, ridiculing, by saying the following? That I'm not going to have a child. Ha'af Umnam Eleid. Is it possible that I will really have a child? Va'ani zakanti. And I am old. And I am old. So let's take a look at Rashi, and then I'll show you the Ramban. Let's take a look at Rashi. Ha'afumnam. Hagam emet eleid. Is it actually true that I will have a child? V'ani zakanti. Listen to the words of Rashi. Shina hakatuv. God changed her words. Mipnei hashalom. So that there would not be a fight between Abraham and Sarah. Shaharehi amra va'adoni zakeh. She didn't say va'ani zakanti. She said, my master, my husband is an old guy and can't have a child. And the Gemara learns out, the Medrash and the Gemara, learns out an incredible principle which is applied in many occasions of the Torah. Mutar lishanot b'nei hashalom. That in order to maintain peace and tranquility within the family, you are allowed to lie. The greatest example of this is at the end of Sefer Bereshit. Please open up to Parshat Vayechi, chapter 50 of Sefer Bereshit. And I'll just give you the exact pasuk. I'll remember which pasuk it is. It is Perek Nun, the last Perek. It is Perek Nun, Pasuk Tet Zayin. We'll start with Tet Vav. The Torah describes the huge funeral entourage of Yaakov. Then Vayiru Achei Yosef, Pasuk Tet Vav, Pasuk Perek Nun, he made Avihem. Yosef's brothers noticed that their father died. Vayomru, and they said, Lu Yistimenu Yosef, perhaps Yosef is going to hate us, despise us. Vahashev Yashiv Lanu, a kol hara'a asher gamalu oto, and he will pay us back. For what? All of the troubles, the difficulty, the suffering that we caused him by selling him into Egypt. Vayitzavu el Yosef lemor. They were called to Yosef's household saying the following. Avicha tziva lifnei moto lemor. Father instructed us to tell you the following. So it's for me to tell you. Kol tomru Yosef. Ana sana pesha achecha v'chatosam ki rab gimalucha. What did Father tell me to say? Forgive him. Everything worked out okay. Atem chashapem l'ra'a ve'elohim chashava l'tova. You wanted to do make my life miserable, but God turned it into a great thing. Asks everybody, where does it ever say that Yaakov told Yosef to say this? So the Midrash, Rashi quotes it right there, says he never did. So why is the Torah reporting it?
Because the Torah, God, is telling us that to make shalom amongst the brothers, even I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, am willing to lie. It's a frightening statement. It's if not for Rashi and Chazal saying this, we would never have the capacity to say that. To put words in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mind. I am making up a lie so that the brothers will not think that Yosef is planning revenge. Same thing happens in our text, according to Rashi. The Torah itself changes it from Va'adoni Zakein to Ani Zakanti. Why? We don't want to make a machloikis. Again, it's a very powerful idea, but the guidelines, the parameters as to when you have to be honest and when you can have a little lie are not clearly defined. You can make up in your mind, I have to worry about peace and I can lie about a lot of things. It's not easy to actually give objective criteria when you tell the truth and when a little white lie is permissible. But nonetheless, so says everybody. Everybody emulates Rashi's statement. However, take a look at the Ramban, please, on page number 1. Va'ani zakanti, says Ramban. Hu peirush acharei biloti. When Sarah said, acharei biloti, our pasuk today, haitali edna, once I am so shriveled up, am I going to again express and have, youthful looking skin? Is that ever possible? That is what it meant. What did she mean by saying that? What did she mean by saying that? Ani zakanti. I am old. What do you mean old? Not just old in years, but how am I old? I know my body is just deteriorating. Udvarav emet. And that is exactly the truth. Ah, mipnei hashalom. Lo ratza ligalot masha amra va'adoni zaken. Based on shalom, what did she not want to say? That she also said, there is another factor. What is the also? Abe is also pretty old. Ki haya ra'ui shiyomar va'ani va'adoni zikenim. She should have said, I and my husband are old. And she actually did by saying, number one, I'm old. Acharei biloti haitali edna. As if she said, ani zakanti. Now she's saying, someone else, v'adoni zaken. Ki Sarah bishnehem titzchak. Sarah's doubt was not only about her own ability to have a child, but was also about Abraham's ability to have another child at this age. So the Ramban says you don't have to say mutar lishanot. We're not changing anything. She revealed both, but she said both. But the Torah doesn't have to reveal a second time that she said about us, that she said anything about Avram. We're not changing anything. She said that she was old. She said that Avram was old. But we are not going to change anything. What are we going to do? Withhold information to Avram. What do we tell Avram? Who did she say was old? Only I. But we're never going to change the text. According to the Ramban, that's a very serious difference between outright lying and withholding the truth. There's a very big difference. It's not a subtle difference, it's a substantial difference. That to outright lie is inappropriate. That's why he's arguing. It's inappropriate under any circumstances. To withhold certain pieces of information,
That's less of an issue. So everybody else agrees with the with Rashi, almost everybody, that it's Lishanot. The Ramban says no, because he interprets the phrase Acharei Beloti Haitali Edna as if it would say in those two words, Anizakanti, I got old, and Va'adonizake. And Va'adonizake. Yeah. Now, if you go to page number 4 for a moment, he asks the question which many of us ask as well. He is a 18th century commentator on the Chumash, Ma'or Einayim, and he writes as follows. He's commenting on a different parsha, but he brings in our psukim. V'hinei levinei genagdim psukei parshas vayera. V'atitzchak sarah b'kibay lemar acharei b'loti hati anezin v'azani zaken v'yam Hashem azam lama v'atchashizo. Next line. U'lahavin ha'psukim alalu ki licha ora yipalei maze v'almaze Lo he'emina sara b'surat hazera. I can't understand for the life of me how we could claim, how the Torah claims, that Sarah refused to believe anything about what? About having a child. Why do I refuse? Why do I find it? Umahu ha'inyan shitzachakara. Shitzachaka. What's this been that she laughed and ridiculed? Hayitachen. Shisara imenu shahaita nivia uba'alat ruach hakodesh. Sarah, who is identified in the text as being a person who has the capacity of prophecy, kimo she'amar hakatuv kol asher tomar elecha Sarah shema b'kola. God tells Abraham, I know you're upset about the fact that we're going to banish Yishmael from the house, but I want you to listen to your wife Sarah. V'omru rabotenu zichronam levracha l'ruach hakodesh shaba. What should Abraham defer to? Not simply Sarah's voice, but what voice that she is expressing? Expressing the voice of the inspiration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sheba, v'lamdu mizeh shahaya Avraham tafel lisarah b'nevi'ut. That Sarah had greater divine revelations than Avraham did. V'eich lo ta'amin hi al busurot v'haftachot hamakom. How is it possible that as a Navi, as a Nevi'ah, she would not necessarily believe what's being shared by these individuals? V'gam masha katuv acharkein v'tichachesh Sarah. Sarah lied. Negdo yit litachesh negdo yit barach. You're going to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu no? It says Vayomer Hashem el Avraham. What pasuk did we read? Hold the place. I'm reminding you. What does it say? Vayomer Hashem el Avraham. Either God or who else is Vayomer Hashem? The Malach. The Malach says to Avraham, Lama zetzeh hakasarah. And what does Avraham do? He brings his complaint to whom? Who does he tell? Sarah. And the text, the next pasuk will say, "Vatichachesh Sarah." She denies it. How could she deny something that Avraham is telling him? I heard from whom? Either HaKadosh Baruch Hu or an angel. How's it possible that Sarah would deny something which Avraham is sharing in the name of an angel or in the name of God? How's that possible? V'gam lehavin divrei rabotenu zichronam v'racha shavru shina hakadosh baruch hu mitnei darkei shalom God changed everything based on what? On shalom.
Va'ani zakanti. Loma v'ani. Af shehi amra va'adoni zaken. Even though she said, my master, my husband is Uma darkei shalom hu. What does this mean, darkei shalom? Uma haya hamachloket v'ho'eder hashalom im haya Avraham shomea hadvarim al mitatam she'amra alav shehu zaken. What does it mean that you have to make shalom when Avraham knows for a fact exactly what she said? He's got no doubt. He heard it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu or an angel. Yeah. So, yeah.
He doesn't answer.
I know. He doesn't. He tries in the next couple of pages to answer it. His answers are less than compelling. But the questions are indeed, substantial questions. Knowing how Chazal look at Abraham and Sarah, they try to build them up as, our matriarchs and patriarchs, and give them enormous credibility. For us to somehow assume that this power of prophecy, of her relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, it's very, very difficult. It's very difficult. So what he goes on to try to say is that the debate between Sarah and others here was, how is she going to be worthy of having the child? There are two ways to be worthy of a child. We all make requests to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So sometimes we can argue we deserve things al-pi-din. My grandfather, Zechanah, used to tell me this all the time. That's the way he davened the Rav Hashanah. It's arguing. I put fire, he was here during World War II, and he couldn't, nobody had any pangasan, and he could have taken his kids into the business and the work, and not put them all to yeshiva to learn something. He used to argue with the Rav Hashanah. I deserve it, I'll be dead. Some people acknowledge that we're not terribly worthy, and what do we ask for? Based on chesed. Sarah is debating here what might have been this sudden decision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu based on. Am I rightfully deserving this baby that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now promising me? Or is it what? Based on the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he's going to try to read the text. It's not as compelling, but I just want to plant the seed in your mind. So what do you think is now the back and the forth as to what's happening here? The angels are saying what? What do you think the angels are saying? You can have two possibilities. Angels are saying you don't really deserve it, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rachamim and chesed is going to happen. In which case, what is Sarah arguing? What will Sarah argue? What's she laughing? What's she angry about? Oh no, I deserve this. I do deserve this. Just as much as my husband had a baby, I deserve that child as well. Or you can take it from the opposite perspective. The Malach is coming to tell us, you really deserve this al-pidin. And what do the Avot always do when they hear they might deserve something? What is Yaakov's famous statement? When God tells him, I'm going to prompt. Katonti mikol achasadim o mikol amen. No. I don't deserve anything. If you're going to tell me it's midas hachesed, midas harachamim, I'll agree. But don't tell me that I necessarily deserve. Think about which one you would want to read it. There's nothing in the text itself that really confirms it. But it's an interesting perspective as to how the dialogue is running between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the angel. And it could very well be that whether you say Vayomer Hashem El Avraham is God or an angel, that is the perspective that is being dealt with. Whenever we have Midat Hadin, who is the spokesperson of Midat Hadin? Elohim.
Yeah.
Here it's Vayomer Hashem. Mm-hmm. Plus, in Akedat Yitzchak, God comes to Abraham and says, what do I want you to do with Yitzchak? I want you to sacrifice him. And who comes to spare Yitzchak? The Malach. Because Al Pidin, if God wants you to sacrifice your child, that's what you have to do. But the angels represent Rachamim. Midas HaRachamim Aleinu Mizgalili. And as a result, tell them not. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Malei Rachamim as well. So think about it. We'll stop right here. Next Shabbat, we continue again. However, I can tell you that in 2 weeks, the shiur is going to be on a Thursday at 12:30. I can't make it to Wednesday. I'd like to do Tuesday. I can't do Tuesday either. So 2 weeks from this week, the shiur will be the 20th. Will be on the 20th instead of the 19th. But I'm not. Yeah. But next week, regular time, regular stations.